The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Okay, to talk movies, Dee Malumbi from entertainment.ie and Paddy Colvin are with us. Dee, before I ask you though about the Oscars and how only diverse movies will now be considered for the Best Picture, tell us about the trouble Disney is in over its Mulan movie.
Oh yes, so Mulan would have launched on Disney Plus last Friday, and a number of social media users shared screenshots of the closing credits in which a number of government security agencies in Xinjiang, and sorry if my pronunciation is all over the place with this, but basically this is an area of China where the government had been accused of a number of human rights abuses, particularly in regards to the rights of the Uyghur people and other Muslim minorities.
Ongoing genocide, 1 million people in concentration camps.
Yeah, and there are a number of other abuses. The Muslim minorities are being, there's forced labour going on, there's forced sterilisation as well. It's absolutely atrocious, the stuff that is going on there. And this isn't the first controversy that the film has come under either. Previously, its star, Liu Yifei, made comments in support of a police crackdown on pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong. And this police crackdown was actually meant to be quite brutal in its nature and stuff. So now there is a call to hashtag boycott Mulan on social media, and this just the day before it's actually due for general release in China as well in the cinemas.
See, that's the important thing there. I mean, Disney is so massively invested in China, down to having theme parks there, but also as a major market for the sale of its movies. That again has done what so many Western companies have done. It's just bowing down to Chinese for commercial reasons.
Oh yeah, that's just it. I mean, China is the second largest movie market in the world. And just in recent days now, a number of US senators have come out against Disney and condemned them. Tom Cotton, for example, has said that Disney is just addicted to Chinese cash and will do just about anything to please the Communist Party. US Senator Josh Hawley has actually written to the Disney CEO, Bob Chapek, condemning the company for whitewashing the ongoing genocide of Uyghurs and other ethnic minorities during Mulan, and asking Mulan if they're actually going to pull, asking Disney if they'll actually pull Mulan from Disney Plus to stop this glorifying of CCP officials and agencies, because the atrocities in Xinjiang are really, really serious.
I don't know if you have any views on that, Paddy Colvin. I mean, certainly Mulan is not a movie I'd have any interest in actually seeing, but even less so after the sort of controversy about the way Disney has just literally bowed over or bowed under to the Chinese.
Well, absolutely, Matt. And of course, I mean, we see in every American movie now, there's definitely a leaning towards China, there's Chinese characters. And that's all because the market is so vast. You know, you have 1.2 billion people. There's now a massive middle class in China who go to the cinema. But movies can make absolute fortunes and double their profits because of China. But I mean, I'm also reminded of the fact that cinema history is littered with movies that have been filmed in horrendous dictatorships. And countries like Uganda, where the African Queen was filmed, but the only reason that Humphrey Bogart and John Huston didn't get dysentery is because they drank pure whiskey throughout the filming. Or Apocalypse Now, that was filmed exclusively in the Philippines when Ferdinand Marcos was trying to suppress a rebellion and he was a dictator. So this kind of stuff has gone in and on in cinema history for a long time. But this is it's always in cinema, it's always down to the profit motive.
Okay, let's move on to the Oscars. And Dee Malumbi, tell us about these new inclusivity or diversity rules for the Best Picture Oscar.
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. Now, in order to qualify as a nominee for Best Picture, a movie needs to meet at least two of four standards laid out in new guidelines. And the four standards come under the following categories. There's on-screen representation, narratives and themes. The second category is creative leadership and project team diversity. Then industry access and opportunities. And finally, audience development. So to give an example for on-screen representation, narratives and themes, this would have that at least one of the lead actors or 30% of the supporting actors have to be from an ethnic or racial underrepresented group, or that the main storyline has to be focused on an underrepresented group, for example, women, LGBTQ+, or people with disabilities.
What do you make of that, Paddy Colvin?
Well, I'm all for affirmative action and actually getting people more involved in the arts from all walks of life. But this needs to start not at the Oscars, which is the end process of filmmaking, but at the very start, because to actually study film, I have a friend who studied in LA, it costs them the same price as a house to actually study film over there. It's a really expensive and class-based industry. And class, as always, is the thing that really underpins an awful lot of this stuff. I think it's great to bring people of all diversities into the Oscars. The Oscars has always rewarded films throughout its history that talked about that kind of subject matter. But I still don't think you can make art by committee. I still think it's a kind of a meritocratic business where people who study for years are at the height of their game and they make movies on that basis. For instance, what if the Amish community in America wanted to make a movie and didn't include any women in the process or anything else, and they did it? Does that mean the movie cannot be considered for an Oscar? You see, I think what we do here then is we kind of make art by committee, which is always terrible, and other visions will just go elsewhere, and the Oscars will cease to have any kind of relevance as a kind of a world forum, and it'll be more, you know, following its own rules. And I don't think art suffers under that. You know what I mean? It's not that I'm against the idea of diversity or rules, because rules are good. But we all love gender quotas, let's say. But we have yet to get 50% women running for the doll. So, and of course, in the movie business, in terms of makeup, in terms of casting, in terms of everything, the percentages are 70% to 80% women. So, you know, there are overrepresentations in those things. Are we to turn around to them and say, no, it must be 50% men, and it must be this proportion of LGBT? It just doesn't work. That's not how art works. People do things, and I think start at the training level, obviously, but not at the very end game.
Dean Maloney, what do you make of that?
Yeah, no, I'd absolutely 100% agree with that. But I am still kind of welcoming these rules and everything at the same time, because I've got to say I'm really, really sick of like the whole men with daddy issues and like violent men killing one another stories. I watched like 7 new movies this week, and again, it's just the same story over and over again. And I do think that when we look at minorities, we get more interesting stories, we get more diverse stories. So I actually kind of welcome this process, but I do also accept the point that it has to come at a more basic level, okay, like Paddy was saying.
Yeah, what about the comments Kirstie Alley, the actress, made? This is a disgrace to artists everywhere. Can you imagine telling Picasso what had to be in his effing paintings? You people have lost your minds. Control artists, control individual thought. Oscar Orwell. Then she removed and elaborated on her remarks following the usual social media backlash. She said it was a poor analogy that misrepresented her viewpoint. And then she said she's 100% behind diversity, inclusion and tolerance. But, and here's the important quote, opposed to mandated arbitrary percentages relating to hiring human beings in any business. I've been in the Motion Picture Academy for 40 years. The Academy celebrates freedom of unbridled artistry expressed through movies. The new rules to qualify for Best Picture are dictatorial, anti-artist. Hollywood, you're swinging so far left, you're bumping into your own arse. Or ass, sorry. Paddy.
Well, I would have a tendency to agree with Kirstie Alley. I mean, for me, putting these kind of limits on art are impossible. You know, what if we were to make a movie about 1916, let's say, and we had to have 30% ethnically different characters?
You know, it's just, Michael Collins, just go back and remake Michael Collins.
Well, I understand that, and that's fine. And by the way, 1916 is full of LGBT characters, so that is highly represented. But the point is, like, cinema is strange. You know, in 1936, Orson Welles put on an all-black production of Macbeth as a kind of a protest against the Jim Crow laws. 10 years later, he was making Othello with himself as Othello in blackface. So art doesn't look at these things. And I have to say, the Oscars themselves, and I don't know if Dee agrees with me, but they always pick the wrong movies. And they always, like, some of the biggest Oscar winners have been dressed dreadfully bad. I mean, I still can't get over the fact that one of the greatest films about slavery, Amistad, lost out. I wasn't even nominated in the year the Titanic won. And you see, like, so, you know, I have to have the artistic argument. You know, I really don't care who makes the movie. Is it any good or not? Secondly, you know, there are amazing female directors like Julie Taymor or Catherine Bigelow, who I'm a huge fan of. But they deal, as you know, deal with like extremely violent subject matter and a man's world and all of this type of thing. But it's great to have their perspective on it. So I don't want people to kind of, and of course, Goodfellas didn't win the best Oscar, which is a miracle. So, you know, I love when alternative voices deal with something that we're used to from a man's voice and all of this. But I don't think we should put limits on artists, because they go where they want to go. And if you look at any great director's oeuvre, they cover huge amounts of subject matters and stuff like that. It's generally a singular vision, and most of the time it's a man's vision. But you know, I welcome diversity in all cases. But I would not want art by committee.
Yeah, but surely the awards go to the best. Well, not always the best movies, but the most popular at the time. D. I mean, if you take it as well, De Mahershala Ali require a positive discrimination to get his Oscars in recent years for what was a Green Book and what was the other one that he won it for?
Moonlight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and Moonlight was a fantastic, actually, Best Picture winner. That was kind of artistic as well as diverse. But Green Book was unfortunately one of the lesser, I think we'll readily admit, Best Picture winner. And it's kind of crazy to believe that was only 2 years ago, you know, just before Parasite won and everything. But I get the point with the whole, it's really frustrating to put these quotas on art and they're kind of limiting and everything. But I'd also question, like, what's the alternative? How else do you, you know, begin this trend and encourage more diversity and everything? So I do kind of, you know, appreciate that the Oscars is at least, you know, trying this and everything. And I know that there have been, like, say, inclusion writers and stuff like that, other attempts to introduce more diversity into film over the years. But at the same time, you know, we do have to remember, how seriously do people take the Oscars anymore? Is it about art for art's sake, or is it about, you know, the most popular cinema at the time? So I don't know if this is really going to create a great change, especially given, you know, a number of individuals have pointed out, well, even with these new, you know, kind of requirements, most, if not all, of the Best Picture nominees in recent years would have been included anyway. So I don't know if this is going to make a huge difference, but the idea is there, and that's a start.
Dean Malumbi from entertainment.ie and Paddy Colvin, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.